Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
The topic about to be discussed, with Hashem's help, is an extremely delicate topic. It must be understood in context. It must be understood as the ongoing battle to protect Judaism and Orthodoxy over the past 250 years. Zoysat Tayre Loisehe Muchlefes. The foundations of Emuna and the halachas of Tayre won't change. But the Chazon Ish already said, you don't take a bow and arrow to fight an atomic bomb. Tactics of war change drastically from generation to generation. Tremendous shifts of emphasis of which parts of Torah to emphasize over other parts shift drastically from generation to generation. As the Shlach HaKadosh explains, certain chumras come in later generations because Hashem foresaw already at Har Sinai that these will have to come into play later as a boundary, as a fence in later generations. Kabbalah came on the scene at a certain time when the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted that it should enhance and invigorate with a deeper perspective of Kiyum HaTorah VaMitzvos, another layer of understanding which will invigorate in the darkness of Galus. Even Piyutim and Yetzirs that are so often quoted by the Baalei HaTosfos suddenly disappeared by Russian Hasidim, Polish Hasidim, and the Grov and Talmidov and the Yeshiva system. Whereas in previous times, G'dayli Talmidei Chachamim and Rabbonim would spend 2 weeks before the Yomim Noiroyim to learn the meanings of the piyutim to be said in the following days. Today, a yeshiva man is struggling on the lumdus of Reb Chaim. From the so-called American Harry, book smart Talmud Chochem, who knows Shas and Shulchan Aruch, and would argue that raising $250,000 for a man-only mikveh is gezel matnes aniyim, try to explain that to a Hasidic Yid, that there's no Shabbos without a mikveh. Culture and focus and emphasis, the packaging of how Yiddishkeit is not in theory, rather how it's practiced in real life. Because, in theory, without having guidelines how to put life into practice, how a Shabbos is supposed to be lived, how a Suda Shabbos is supposed to be experienced, can't be learned from books. And it definitely is Peshet Tzuria V'loivish Tzuria. It sheds one form and takes on new forms all throughout exile. And all these things, the emphasis, the packaging, is so important that it overrides everything else. Shown. And the 1% of the change of emphasis, which translates into actual how to live and experience the Judaism, is so intense that although in 99% of keeping halacha and keeping Torah, all walks of orthodoxy are the same, yet the 1% almost segregates and separates the different parts of Judaism almost into completely different religions, in the sense that they could barely intermarry and they could barely understand each other. And the cultures are completely different. And while communication is so easy and the printing press is so easy. And shiurim listened to from all walks of Judaism are readily available for everybody. So the cultures are continuously mixing and remixing and blending together, even as each culture doesn't even notice the subtleties, how the cultures are merging. But I would challenge anybody to find the old mirror nigun that they still sing in yeshivische simchis teures by Akofis. And although Reb Eli Valpian, when you heard Reb Nsiim Babaviz Kari Bein Olam, which they sang for Lechadoidi for many years in Kfar Chassidim, and he said that Nigun must have been composed by Ruach HaKadosh, that Ruach HaKadosh rested upon the Babaviz Rav when he created this Nigun, it was still a Babaviz Nigun, not a Kelim Nigun. And so we begin this fascinating talk. Reb Naftali Trop, Rosh Yeshiva in Yadin, famously said, maybe in the name of Reb Chaim Riske, that when there's one kasha on the sugya, you have a kasha. Two kashas, so you have two kashas. When you have three kashas, you must be going in the wrong direction. You don't have a correct grasp on the Gemara. You have to unravel the parts of the sugya and revisit and reanalyze the sugya. And upon unraveling, like a cable, if you unravel each string and you see which one is ripped, which one is twisted, you'll be able to figure things out. Likewise, the Rambam explains Avraham Avinu that everybody was serving Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam says Avraham Avinu unraveled to its source. He went back in history and understood the source of the mistake that they thought that Hashem wants them to worship the stars, the sun, and the moon. When you get back to the source of where it all began, where the mistake started taking root, then you could fix it at its source. One of the greatest miracles in modern history was how the complete body of the Miri Yeshiva, almost complete, was saved and started the yeshiva movement again after the Holocaust. What's unbelievable, I heard from one of the Altamiras, he said, had Rabbi Ruchim not been nifte, had Rabbi Ruchim not passed away a few years before the war, his charisma would have convinced all the boys to stay and nobody would have been saved. But there's a fascinating other part of this story, told to me by Rav Berman, the Panovich Rosh Yeshiva, that Rav Elchanan Wasserman, when he realized there were bachurim close to 40 not getting married in the Miri Yeshiva, and he held Rabbi Ruchim to task, why are you allowing this? So Rabbi Ruchim told him, nobody wants to marry a yeshiva man. Said Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman to Rabbi Ruchim, the girls that clean other people's homes, those simple girls, they'll be willing even to marry a yeshiva man. Said Rabbi Ruchim to Rabbi Elchanan, for your Naftali, you're going to find the son of a Rav. And he'll take over the Rabbonus. For my son, I'm also going to find a Choshev Shidduch. And the rest of the Bacharim will just let them go anywhere. It's going to destroy the covered HaTorah, and I'm not allowing it. Miraculously, had they all been married with families, the Derech HaTeva, they would have been killed during World War II. But because they didn't have families and they were all part of the yeshiva, they were saved. And Torah was restarted with them, through them. Never since Matan Torah was there a divide, such a sharp divide, between those learning Lomdus and those learning the halachic Torah, halacha lemaisa, the rabbinic Torah, the way it's miskayim, the way it's acted upon, almost always, the Torah was learned in a way to paskin l'halacha. And although in the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara says that if your Rav, your Rebbe is a Talmud Chochem, but he's not a hunter, he doesn't have hands-on the famous Heilige Korkuban. He knows the theory of the halacha, yet he doesn't know the practicality of halacha. Like the Gemara says, a Rav spent 18 months amongst the shepherds to understand the mumin, the blemishes. So most of the Gedolei Torah didn't always do the hands-on halachic application, but the theoretical halachic application they were all doing. And therefore, if you'll show them that this is this, they'll be able to apply it. In the big cities, the Chassam Sofer had a Meirei Tzedek that passed in the simple shaylas. The Iguna shaylas, the complex Dinei Torahs, those went to the Chassam Sofer, to the Noida B'Yehuda. You need both. You need the hands-on, and you need the genius that knows it in theory. Because you can have the hands-on, but you don't understand the lumdus of Svek Sveki and Chazokis and Reiv, and you're off. And the famous saying, Alles by Einim and Ishto by Kainim, you can't be a jack of all trades, master of all. Rather, a jack of all trades, master of none. Reb Moshe Feinstein, in our times, told him Simcha Bunim Kohn, that it used to be that Gedolim were able to sort of paskin and dalet chelkei Shulchan Aruch. Today, in the world of communication, there's experts, and they could be an expert in ribbis, they could be an expert in medicine, halacha, and all kinds of different parts of halacha. Different experts. But to have a derech halimut completely divorced from halacha, halacha lemaise, just learning the depth of lomdus almost never existed in history. Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky, in one of the most fascinating svarim ever, Emes L'Yankiv al HaTorah, in Parashas Mishpatim, the last piece, has a shtickel there, how the ways of learning Torah changed from generation to generation. L'chayre, Zoysa Torah, Loysa Hei Mochlefes, Torah can't change. Lulav and Esrik don't change. How could Derech HaLimud change? And in this fascinating way, he explains the bottom line that the Torah has to exist amongst the people, and the Rebbeinu Shleim Zashkoche in each generation decides how we could make people connected to the Torah. So we know Reb Chaim Briske's Derech HaLimud came along, and Reb Chaim Briske, when he would ask a Shaila for Reb Yitzchak Elkanah on the Kavanah Rav, he would tell him, just tell me the Psak Halacha, I don't want to know your proofs. And the way it was understood was that if you would tell him the lumdus and the reasoning behind the proofs, he would have found ways how he doesn't agree to them. But Natschuni Banai the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes, the Psak Halacha down here is agreed upon in Shemayim, and the Vagotl B'Torah, who has a completely different Derech HaLimud, and you know for sure that if he would tell you his reasoning, you would disagree, and nevertheless, you could accept his Hayra. It's one of the fascinating in Yonim, in Hayra. And therefore, Reb Chaim could hear a psak for Reb Yitzchak Elkanah, and he himself is learning in a lomdus divorced from halacha lemaisa, and he'll have a dayan in the city, Reb Simcha Zelig, who he trusts. And that's a very interesting new phenomenon. Of course, the Hashgacha Elyonah foresaw that we're going to need curriculums, and it's going to be compulsory education, and the yeshiva system is going to make yeshivas, and you need Geshmak Alumdus to have a curriculum in yeshivas. Because in Europe, those that really learned Torah, cram learned Shas and Al Chalke Shulchan Aruch, to be able to paskin in there and become a Rav in all the many thousands of towns. And each town was completely cut off from the rest of civilization. You couldn't just pick up a phone and call somebody. The Rav had to know Treifis. The Rav had to know Mikvois. The Rav had to know Chesh Mishpit at a very, very young age. And obviously the cram learning was on a more surface level that we expect today. Besides the G'dayla G'daylim, but every simple Rav in every town that crammed all this amount of information, they didn't have time to process the dakus of every sugya. But because they had Yiras Shamayim, Hashem made sure that they paskin correctly. Getting back to the yeshivas, if bachurim aren't finding shaduchim, and they have to engage in lomdas because they're not getting rabbinic positions, Lithuania was choruv, destroyed completely. And where you're becoming a rav, and where you're having a kehila that's interested in your psak, most of them are going off. So cramming halacha and becoming a paisik wasn't a motivator to stay by learning. And there were tremendous draws, communism, Yiddishistan, Zionism, tremendous ruchos, and the miracle of creating a shtoltz of a yeshiva bacha, a lamdin, he's saying chaburis, he's saying a better, sharper lamdis than the other. And then when Brisk Rav sent a letter to all the Rosh Hashivas, if they could send him 10 bachirim, he's sitting alone in Brisk, and Rabbi Ruchan was the only one that agreed, and he made it an elitism, that after you know Nashim Nezikin, the Hashlomit to Nashim Nezikin was to go to learn Kodshim by Brisk Rav. We're talking about bachirim that knew every Taisis and Nashim Nezikin with every Lomdis. So they had another place to shine. And it was all a tremendous way how to preserve and motivate against all odds. While in Hungary, at that same very time, you were still able to motivate a Baal Kishrin to cram, learn Dal Chalke Shulchan Aruch and still get a Rabbanus in a Frum Erliche town. But as the Chazon Ish already told Rav Wolf of Wolf Seminary, it's very hard to tell somebody you're doing a b'di'evit. And once the b'di'evit becomes the Ratzon Hashem, you might as well let them think at that time that the b'di'evit is a l'katchila. What happens is that when the b'di'evit becomes l'katchila for too long, you have a very hard time to revisit and think that possibly it was only a l'katchila, because there was no other option. And even though the Maral says, Dovor she'einoi tivi, einoi miskayim, something that's not natural, doesn't last. Sometimes you have to do something radical. Mekurovim of the Chazon Ish said that he said that the Koil movement is for 2-3 generations, ad she'yachzoi ha'toro l'yoshto, because again, it's a Dovor she'einoi tivi, because the Rechaim HaKadosh and Chepetz Hashem on Brachis, the sugi of Reb Shem Meichoi, he says that Yitachin, that only when Klal Yisrael is Tzadikim, then Yechidei Skula could be Seimech HaNisim, but if Klal Yisrael aren't on a high level, then even the Yechidei Skula can't rely on Nisim for their Parnassus. But nevertheless, it was a tactic of war at that time to raise the banner of Torah, and not to be melted into the melting pot of the Zionist secular society dumbed through the army. So therefore, you needed radical measures. But does that last forever? So the problem is, sometimes we need a handle, and to take that handle, and with that the whole vessel is lifted up through the handlebar, through the handle. A base yad. So Bocha Vakuk Vamidon Alachas Tzadik Vemunoso Yichye. When the Gemara Makis says that Vakuk took Emunah, not that it's only Emunah, but if you'll focus on Emunah, that'll be the Beis Yad to lift up and to preserve the entire Yiddishkeit. By zooming in and making one focus, that will save everything. There were Hasidim that focused on Shabbos. There were Hasidim that focused on Kedusha. There were, and the Lishiv Shevel focused on Lomdus as the way in to bind the youth, the Bali Kishirin, with Torah. And by being bounded to Torah through the Lomdus and through the Chaburas and through the Shtolts, that'll connect them to Yiddishkeit and we'll have a Gedolei Torah and that'll save the Yiddishkeit. So Lomdus became the way how to save Yiddishkeit. And in every culture, in the Frum world, the thing that became the Beis Yad to save the entire Judaism, if you go against that, it's like mamash apikorsis. Because by them, the way they view that Indian is not just another thing. Like Lomdus is just another thing. Shalashudis by the Chassidim, just another thing. Having a Chassidish Rebbe, just another thing. No. If having a Rebbe became by Chassidim everything, so then the Rebbe became everything. And not having a Rebbe or breaking off is apikorsis. And it could be a certain Chassidis that the fight against Tzionis was the biggest thing. So 80 years later, still going to the Kaisel will be mamash apikorsis. And in the different Hasidus, breaking off first cousin of the Rebbe is mamash apikorsis. And in the yeshivish world, possibly not learning Lomdus could be, in a knee-jerk reaction, considered by a Rosh Yeshiva as something terrible, to the point where Rosh Yeshiva could tell his Talmidim, Chas V'Sholem, to leave Lomdus after the Chasna and learn Ribbis and Mikvayis and Taruvis and Hilchos Shabbos. You have to remain in the realms of Lomdus. And that, as we said in the beginning, you have to unravel and understand where that mistake comes from, because in as much as the Lomdus became the Hatzolas Hadas, the way how to save the entire religion, then that became such a strong thing that it's very hard to revisit and rethink that we're not living in that danger and in that situation anymore. And Mamela Avada, the young man after the Chasna, should horive and be koine, miktsoyis, bishleimus, and Avada, he should learn ribbis, and he should learn mikvayis, v'chulu, v'chulu. And it's dvarim pshutim that go without saying, but they really need to be said and explained. But likewise, to understand and not be mezalzel in the Rosh Yeshiva that says that, to understand also where he's coming from. Even to understand when Rosh Yeshiva tells his Talmidim that Daf Yomi is mamish nothing. It's in context. Because if Daf Yomi is everything, then our Lomdus is nothing. And if our Lomdus and the movement of Lomdus is what saved Yiddishkeit, then it becomes something so scary to them that they have to negate it with very sharp lashonis that are very hard for an outsider to grasp. Just like a yeshiva man can't understand what is so scary for the Hasidim if the first cousin of the Rebbe opens up a new branch of the Hasidus. And what's fascinating is that, for example, in Tshuvas Divrei Chaim from Tzanzerov, who was a tremendous goyim, he writes, in our countries, it's not the common practice to allow anybody to be mechadish in Torah besides Gedolei Ador. The opposite of what was going on in the yeshivish world, to try to get everybody to be mechadish shechabur. In the world of the Divrei Chaim, Galicia, Hungary, it was about hachna, learn what's written, and process on the surface level all the information, know halacha in a basic level, and cover as much ground as he could simplistically and not feeling that you have a right to have input into the Torah. That was a way of bittul. And it was more, as Chazal called in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Memhei, Ba'alei Mishnah, not Ba'alei Talmud. And although you could argue that the Tzan Zerov was only talking about Chidushim in the way of real Chidushim, like Chassam Seifedik, versus our Reb Chaim Volozhiner type of Chidush, which is just solid understanding, and that shouldn't be considered Chidush, that's Havonah. But it seems that even that type of Havonah was a level above what the Divrei Chaim expected from simple learners. Famously, Rabbi Saul Salanta wanted to make a koil where they learn only for Hashem's sake, Lushma, Torah Lushma, but he was mevatalit because he said, Lushma exists, but Torah doesn't exist. The fight, theoretically you could have mamish tzadikim, that because of their great tmimus and tzidkus, will focus on Milchamta Shel Torah, because now we're going to go into the battle of Torah Lushma. But nobody reaches perfection that easily. And therefore, the Milchamta Shel Torah has a little Taivis HaNitzochin B'chol Avavcha B'shnei Yitzrecha. The Yitzhara helps out to have the Milchamta Shel Torah, similar to what Ramatul Zilber says, why the Agadah to Gemaras were incorporated into the Shas, not as a separate chelik in Yankiv like today, because the Yetzahara of Bittul Torah helps that you should learn the Musa, so at least you learn some Musa also. It became extremely hard for those that learned Lamdas to then parallel themselves and align themselves with Halacha, because if the way your sugya came out is different than the way the Peiske Adairis came out, and you have to be machnia yourself and accept their psak, it's very hard if you came out with a sugya different than them. Famously, Chazon Ish, Igros Moshe, they weren't so meshubed to the achreinim. But on the most part, once certain psakim are accepted, if you are a big lamdin and you paskin otherwise, you're ostracized by the hamoin am's hergish, because it's not accepted anymore. So the Hamoin Am will override the genius Talmud Chacham, which is in itself a fascinating Indian. And you find in Shai HaSachuvis, Chavatzel HaSashorin, great Goyim before World War II, Abel Zachosi, the grandson of the Menchus Chinuch, and he writes, if I issue a psak and Klal Yisrael doesn't accept it, I draw my psak, because Kud Shubrichu V'Yiraisi V'Yisrael Chad, and if Klal Yisrael doesn't agree to it, it must be a simon that I made a mistake, because who could know for sure that they were mechavan l'amita shel Torah? There's so many subtleties. If the Chassam Sofer writes in the tshuva 3 years before he was nifta, that this shaila in Baal was chazok and sex fake, and I need to take chavrusa and sit down and relearn chazok and sex fake because they're so complex. So who could be mechavan l'amita shel Torah? The Torah is so vast and so deep. So you need siyata d'shmai, and if Klal Yisrael doesn't feel something off on the psak, he withdraws a pellet. Obviously, Igros Moshe didn't hold like that. And the world of Lamdas was matzliach by those that have a grasp on Lamdas, that they could say that they won't get oilam habit for learning Torah because they enjoy it so much. Then you understand that the main thing was to get the bacher into the doors of the Beis Medrash against all odds, against such powerful winds of liberalism, of Zionism, of Yiddishism, and so on. And the Hatzolus Adas was Lamdas, and Chashivas of a Bacher, and Chaburis, and Roshei Chaburis, and so on. But nevertheless, to understand that Avada, the Talmud Chacham has to be Kainan, Mikzayis, and Torah. This is a very fascinating topic, and you could go on and on, but this is the gist of it. V'tel l'chocham v'yech kamoid.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.